B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
You had better start up your Wednesday right here on V&A, every day right here on the Show of the People. Appreciate you being there as we talk about the big stories of the day. Debates, college football, the changing environment, the climate, the Big 12 disintegrating before our eyes while Texas and Oklahoma are off to the SEC. Several texts coming in on that that says, that is a hard stat to swallow. The eight other teams in the conference in the Big 12 were equal to the AAC. Yikes. It says, guys, let's be honest. The moment TCU and West Virginia were brought in to replace Colorado and A&M, the Big 12 was doomed. They just don't move the needle. And that's true. That is true. I think you could argue that, they diminished themselves. And, A&M made their choice, and now Texas is following because that's the changing landscape of college athletics. But either way, now it's about, we know where Texas and OU are going. How quickly can they get there becomes the debate. And then what happens to the remaining eight teams? And, let's be honest, we have a large audience of people that, root for Baylor and Texas Tech and Oklahoma State. And, they have to find a soft landing spot in the current or the dramatically changing climate of college athletics. And that's TCU, of course. I mean, these are successful sports programs. But as we said, when it comes down to dollars and cents and what you bring as far as value to the conference, sure, it's about how you compete, but more importantly is how you create dollars. Do you bring revenue? Do you bring television sets and eyeballs? Becomes a huge piece of this conversation for those schools. And that's why Ari Temkin's point last hour that Kansas was the third highest revenue team in the conference. Well, Kansas has value. The Big Ten can look at that and say they're bringing not just maybe one of the top five basketball programs in the country, but they bring money. They bring revenue, which we need, and that's what this is all about right now, not just winning and losing. And yes, Baylor won the national championship in men's basketball and have won four national championships in women's and men's basketball in the last decade.
Right.
But how much money do they generate? How many TV sets do they turn on, Buck? And how it ticket sales and things like that. And what do they bring from a from the revenue side is what these new conferences potentially are going to be looking at when it comes time to
Bob Bolesby's an honorable guy, but he kind of sits on his hands. He gives me a great time to sleep every year at the Big 12 media days. I mean, I can just sleep because you almost know exactly what he's going to say, and he's just not an aggressive guy. He's not he hung on to this deal for quite a long time. And obviously the people at Texas and Oklahoma understand what they had brought to the table. That was known right from the get.
Sure.
It just was financially. And like you said, he didn't go after the Oregons, the Washingtons of the world. When they were struggling, that's when you should have grabbed a hold of them. What they do bring is they have academic names. They bring that academia to you, and they will be. Oregon brings, Phil Knight is very powerful. The Nike brand, that's its whole political department itself, the Nike brand. But when you sit around and not do that and just think Texas and Oklahoma is going to sit back and say, eventually they're going to say, you know what, something's going to happen. And for Skanky at the SEC, the Skank man.
Skanky.
Yeah, he is working to be the commissioner of college athletics. He would be the number one choice.
Well, he's almost doing that on his own.
That's right.
The talk that the SEC is not done with Texas and Oklahoma, and they'd like to pilfer Clemson and Florida State and maybe even talk to Ohio State and really build a 24 program.
There would be your
power conference.
There would be your commissioner.
Yeah, he would ascend to the top. He would be the most powerful person in athletics. And
right.
And if you go back to SEC media days last week, Greg Sankey was highly critical of the NCAA and their lack of leadership on any of these new frontiers. And someone's got to be providing that. And I think that's been a selling point for Greg Sankey, or at least it will be one moving forward. Is, hey, we got to take care of ourselves, so let's unite as power conferences, and we can institute our own rules then. And the NCAA be damned kind of conversation. But obviously, in real time, these things are happening, and the eight other schools in the Big 12 have to find a landing spot for sure.
And now, I maybe it'll only take one. Maybe it'll just take Kansas with their basketball program to be gone to the Big 10. And that's it. Forget West Virginia. Maybe it's one. Maybe it's not two teams.
Well, I wouldn't think that the Big Ten would expand by one. I think they would look for a second. Maybe that's Iowa State. I mean, I know that doesn't bring
a
lot.
Natural, but it's kind of natural fit.
Yeah, I mean, because as far as breaking up divisions and trying to schedule, if you had Iowa, Iowa State, Nebraska, Kansas,
yeah,
Illinois, I mean, that's all Midwestern schools, and you know, Iowa State's a little off the nose for them, but Kansas is not, and Kansas is also a member of the American Athletic. What is that? The academic mm-hmm. institutions. 13 of the 14 Big 12 schools are currently in the AAU. Kansas is part of that. So is Iowa State. So there's familiarity there from the academic side. And then there's West Virginia. I think all it takes is Kansas and West Virginia to find a soft spot, whether it's ACC, Big 10, and the Big 12 is kaput at that point. But that's what we will watch, and who knows how long it takes, as each school now fends for itself on what is best for them. We've also got the Olympic situation and Simone Biles. We'll get back into that debate. But right now, let's get you caught up with the trending topics. The headline of your Wednesday morning. UBL Business Services brings it to you. And yeah, let's get you the very latest on the conference realignment side of things. It is official, as you know, as yesterday, Texas and Oklahoma sent their letters to the Southeastern Conference, formally requesting to become the 15th and 16th members of that conference. SEC president scheduled to meet tomorrow, at which the 14 members are expected to vote and will approve the request from Texas and Oklahoma. Reports it could be a unanimous vote, 14-0. Only takes 11 of those to vote in the affirmative, though. The Board of Regents at both Texas and Oklahoma have called meetings for Friday, obviously to discuss the proceedings from Thursday and more. More drama at the Tokyo Olympics. The announcement early today over in Tokyo from USA Gymnastics that the defending Olympic champion Simone Biles has withdrawn from the final of the individual all-round competition, which is going on right now. She withdrew due to concerns over her mental health. The four-time Olympic gold medalist and 19-time world champion has drawn criticism, obviously, for dropping out of the team competition after just one event for the same reason. Also in Tokyo today, USA basketball got back on track after their opening loss to France. They issued a beatdown to Iran, 120-66. Dame Lillard led the way with 21. American swimmer Katie Ledecky won her first gold medal in Tokyo, took first in the 1,500-meter freestyle. Her fellow American, Erica Sullivan, won her first-ever Olympic medal with a silver there. And USA total medal count now up to 30. 10 of those are gold. Baseball last night, Astros even their series in Seattle at a game apiece with an 8-6 win. Yordan Alvarez, big three-run homer early. Miles Straw added a two-run double as part of a four-run fourth. Before last night's game, the Astros and Mariners pulled off a trade. Houston sent their third baseman Abraham Toro and reliever Joe Smith to Seattle for relievers Kendall Graveman and Rafael Montero. Graveman, key to the deal. He's been great out of that Seattle bullpen with a .80 ERA in 30 appearances this season. Rangers, meanwhile, broke their 12-game losing streak. They beat the Arizona Diamondbacks 5-4. Joey Gallo belted a big three-run homer there. Round Rock, the Express, split a doubleheader in Reno. That wrapped up that road trip for the E-Train. They're going to open up a 12-game homestand at Dell Diamond tomorrow night.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
And there we go. So big stuff out there. We'll get into that. By the way, that Astros trade was interesting because the reports that the Seattle clubhouse was irate upon the Mariners trading their best reliever to the in-division rival Astros. Astros need relief pitching. We know that. Just on Monday night, the Astros blew a 7-0 lead in Seattle as their bullpen couldn't hold on to the lead. And Seattle's been playing good baseball. They just had a big series with Oakland over the weekend where they feel like they've gotten back into things, and they beat the Astros in that comeback on Monday night, and then their GM trades their best reliever. Reports that the Mariner locker room not real happy with that move.
Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, they feel like they got something going. It's just July, and, you know, but Abraham Toro is a good player. I think the Mariners are happy to get Abraham Toro. He had a home run last night in his Mariners debut against the Astros, but the Astros know that Alex Bregman's coming back from his injury. He'll be back up, and there wasn't going to be a spot for Toro, so they traded from a spot of surplus to acquire what they needed in relief pitching. So we'll see if that's the last trade the Astros make. We'll see on that because the trade deadline is Friday in Major League Baseball. All right, so a lot of the big stories. That Simone Biles story was a hot one for us early. I think it's the story of all over the country. Everybody's talking about it. I'm sure it'll be the lead on the Today Show and Good Morning America.
Absolutely.
And all the shows. And I know you and I differ on it. You know,
well, I don't think we differ. I just it's you know, the opinions on it. Quitting is no. It's not. It wouldn't just be an option. This is individually. That's not an option for me. Mental health is it's hard to talk about because I'm not that person. I just know I couldn't do that to my teammates. I know every day is not a perfect day, and she's gone through, you know, she's a foster child. She's got great parents. But yesterday, when she says that was my toughest day ever, I don't buy that. You've been in too many high-pressure situations to call yesterday what it is. I'm not saying she's a quitter, because there's no way she's a quitter. But at that particular moment, things weren't going right for her. That's when you have to dig down and do that and get it done. And everybody's not raising a bunch of softies, but that is you can't quit. It's not an option. You can't quit on your team. If the day is not good for you, and, yeah, you could worry about, well, I'm going to do this because I want my team to win a medal. No, you go out there and perform to the best. That's why you are the GOAT. When things aren't going good, you go out there and then you say, if it didn't work out and I'm a bronze medal winner and my team is bronze, I went out the best I could on this given day. No, it was not perfect, but I'm not going to wait to the next perfect day when I feel perfectly well to perform. And I'm not going to quit on my team. I'm not going to do that. And she's the only one who has to look in the mirror, not me. You know, I don't have to look in the mirror. You know, I deal with addiction on a daily basis. I understand, but her being a foster child, she's had a wonderful life. There are many foster children. It just doesn't happen to. She ended up in a really nice spot with really nice parents. And like I said, she's a wonderful young lady. She's a great ambassador to the sport. She is the GOAT, and there's no doubt about it. But the GOAT can make a mistake too. And I think that was a mistake not to go out there and perform. She's not flying a plane. She's not a skydiver. Football can be life or death. Her vault and all that other stuff, yeah, there's danger in it. But quitting it's just not an option. I mean, if that's Russell Wilson or Tom Brady, do you know what we're doing to them today if they said in the Super Bowl? Because that is her Super Bowl. The world champions and all that stuff that she does, that's wonderful. But this is her Super Bowl, and it's the Super Bowl for her sport and for her teammates, who all of a sudden she put in a situation when they looked at her and she started hugging them. They were like, huh? But, you know, if this is Brady or Wilson or somebody like that, do you know what we're doing to those guys this morning? And they tell you I wasn't quite there for my team. And they decide they're not, I need to back up here.
I understand the parallels, and we've seen them in sports over and over again.
Yeah.
Let's hear from Simone Biles. We have this audio from Simone after, and obviously she's not competing again today in the individual all-round, so she wasn't there,
that
able
makes
to go
sense,
for her team.
It?
And sure, I mean, if she's not mentally right in her own head and she's not there, doesn't have it, then, you know, it would look really bad had she competed in this, in the individual all-round. She's not. Here is Simone Biles after you know, her decision to withdraw after just the vault portion of the team competition.
I've just never felt like this going into a competition before, and I tried to go out here and have fun and warm up in the back, went a little bit better, but then once I came out here, I was like, no, mental is not there, so I just need to let the girls do it and focus on myself.
Physically, I feel good. I'm in shape. Emotionally, that kind of varies on the time and the moment. Coming here to the Olympics and being the head star of the Olympics is not an easy feat, so we're just trying to take it one day at a time, and we'll see.
I say put mental health first. It's okay sometimes to even sit out the big competitions to focus on yourself, because it shows how strong of a competitor and person that you really are.
All right, there's Simone Biles, and
that's not good enough for me. Sorry, that can be good enough for y'all, but those explanations right there are not good enough. But it is her life. As I said, for this point on, she's the one who has to look in the mirror.
Sure. And as I've said, I mean, she's already accomplished enough to be considered the greatest gymnast of all time. You can't say she can't handle pressure, because she's her whole life, and she's won 4 gold medals and 19 world championships over her time, and does things on a gymnastics floor that no one's ever done before. But yeah, in this case, look, and this is one of the things on mental health. Fortunately in my life, I have not dealt with mental health issues, but the people that have, that I know, that I'm closest to, would say, you know, you can't control it. You are in control. So if indeed, as some suggested, she was having a panic attack, whatever it was, she was shaking, she couldn't control that, she couldn't get herself calm, she couldn't, you know, go through her normal pre-match routine of getting the nap and finding mental focus and all the things it takes to compete at that level and do the things that she does, then it's almost like I would consider her injured, right? I mean, and people get injured, and athletes get injured all the time and can't go. A mental issue is an injury, just like a knee injury would be an injury to me. And if she can't go, she can't go. And I'm going to give her the credit that she knows her body, she knows her mental self, she knows her focus. And if she couldn't go, she couldn't go. She'll have to live with it. She'll have to try to figure out why.
Yeah, it's hard to be in somebody's head. You can't.
Yes.
You can't do it. But once again, that's not an option. If I got teammates, that's not an option. It's just not an option for me. And I'm talking as an individual. So please don't take this as I've never been at that level.
Me either.
Anything in my life. And I don't understand what the pressure is, but that's not the damn first pressure she's been under.
Not at all.
And that's not the first. And if she's telling that's the first bad day she has, come on.
That's not what she said. She says she's never felt like that.
Okay. Well, I mean, no, not an option. That's not an option for me. That's letting my group down. And if you'd have seen those girls and the rest of her teammates, but as I said, if we're talking about somebody else, and if we're talking about other, by the way. She's not an amateur. She's a professional now.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's not treat her like
she's the face of these games.
She's not the little girl that's competing at the gym anymore. She's a professional. She gets paid a lot of money to do what she does. So let's put her in the category of the rest of the professionals that do professional sports.
I'm not sitting here arguing she shouldn't be criticized. I'm just saying that if she couldn't go, she couldn't go. And she's gone on
many. She didn't go.
And again, some around in her camp, and I heard it said and written that if she had gone and performed like she was performing in her practice, and then in her one vault, it may have cost him a medal altogether.
Damn what I've been proud of her to then come and say, I did not have it today. This is the worst I've ever felt.
Because she gave an opportunity to a teammate who went on and they won a silver medal. I mean, maybe you would have been more proud of her for competing and not meddling than,
yes, I would have.
Than understanding she didn't have it and she wasn't there.
Did you tell that to my teammates? Hell yeah, I would have been.
Who then rose up and won a silver medal and nearly won the gold?
No. I would have been so fine with her to letting us know because we would have seen it. Everybody in the world would have seen the best gymnast in the world was not on her best, and she didn't leave them. She didn't say, okay, go get, you know what I'm saying? She didn't quit. She didn't quit. She went out when, guess what? It was raining. She put the raincoat on and went outside and worked. She didn't quit. If she would have not done well and she would have told us after this thing was over with, I felt horrible today, but I kept on going. I wasn't gonna leave my teammates.
I know I'll be in the severe minority on this, but I can't crawl on this lady's head. I can't crawl on any athlete's head and understand where they are. If I just know this, in that sport, if you're not there and you're not focused, you can get very seriously injured.
So you're playing football. What happens to those dudes?
Understood.
And
guys can't go in games all the time. I mean, there are injuries that happen in sports.
She's not physically injured. She's been in mental pressure. She's been doing this
her whole
forever.
Life. Forever. So that's why I have to believe her. This isn't her first rodeo. She's been to the highest highs of that sport and achieved at the highest levels amid the greatest pressure that you can put yourself in and achieved at the highest levels that sport's ever seen. So she's been there. I have to trust her that in her own mind, right there that day, she couldn't go. I just have to believe that. I mean, I don't know what else to say. And you can criticize her for it. She opens herself up to
you. And that's what I'm doing.
Exactly.
That's what I'm doing. I'm
100%.
Not saying, this is a wonderful young lady. Don't think I'm questioning her character. I'm just questioning her ability to leave, to not be with her team at that time. It's not a perfect time. Every day's not perfect.
And now,
you got to suck that. You got to go.
But here we are tonight in Tokyo, which is almost approaching 10 o'clock. She's not competing for the individual side of it either.
Well, how stupid would that have looked if she didn't go for her team, that she would then compete individually?
Whatever happened that she's not mentally prepared for this, the biggest event, her Super Bowl, she's going to have to live with that. She's going to have to identify why and how, but she was unprepared to handle this situation.
What would she have been prepared for, E, if she would have not done what she did yet, if she would have gave away and not gone with her teammates and then performed an individual,
what would her life have been like then?
What would people have thought about her
but
then?
But you're insinuating that she's only not competing tonight because she didn't compete yesterday.
Oh, she's thinking about it. I mean, you don't think that
she can.
In her mind?
But that's why you're not considering that maybe there is something going on with her. Maybe there is a mental issue that she's having that I can't crawl in her head and figure that out.
Yeah.
Just right now. And, you know, we're not allowed. I mean, you know, if you have an ankle injury or you hurt your knee or you hurt this or your back, then you can't go, you can't go. With the brain, it's a more nuanced conversation. Between your ears, it's a more nuanced thing. Panic attacks are a real thing. Heck, our favorite show, The Sopranos, is based on a tough guy who's not allowed to see a shrink having panic attacks and dealing with that. I mean, the mental health issue is something that we're all wading into and trying to understand. And yes, we destroyed Jay Cutler day after day in the NFL when he was unwilling to go back and play in a football game when he was injured. Are you hurt or are you injured? Has been a debate we've had year after year.
Absolutely.
Scottie Pippen was crushed and still is crushed for begging out of a basketball game, but that was because he didn't agree with the coach's situation. So I'm not saying you can't criticize her, but you also have to give her credit for what she's already accomplished. I'm not saying you, I'm saying in general.
For everybody
that you hear,
yes. She
deserves credit for what she's already accomplished. She's considered the best in her sport of all time. And so, yeah, that's a bad look for her. There's
no
question.
You can't take anything away from what she's
done. But I also, as a human being, have to try to understand why and what she's saying and not just call her a quitter or call her this or call her soft or any of that. Because she's achieved to the highest levels I've never even thought of. So I have to give her the credit and understand and try to understand what she's saying, and that I've never felt like I felt yesterday morning or yesterday night. And I felt like I would hurt my team and be a detriment to my team if I went. And the fact that she's not competing tonight would indicate she's still not there, and she's going to have to deal with that the rest of her life because she put in a lot of hours and a lot of time to prepare for this event and lead her team and be the face of the Olympics. And that's unfortunate. It's unfortunate for Team USA.
There is no doubt about it. And as I said, she's the one who's got to look in the mirror. But that's not an option to leave my teammates. I'm sorry.
Understood.
I've seen too many. I've seen it, but I'm not leaving them. I can be at my worst, but I'm going to go out there and perform, and then I'll explain to you after I've competed.
Says, but she's still the GOAT, LOL. Well,
yeah, I mean, she still is.
Ask
There's
anybody
no doubt.
That's ever watched gymnastics who the greatest gymnast of all time is. And yes, Kerry Strug completed a vault with a bad foot years and years ago, and it's still the stuff of legend, and it deserves as much credit today as it did then. But at the same time, if she couldn't go, she couldn't go. That's all I can. I mean, that's my only read of it. And she'll have to deal with the criticism, answer the questions, and try to figure out why and what happened in her most important time.
Yeah, but I mean, and you think that had to be hard for her to do. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, yeah, that's
absolutely the hardest thing. But there are a lot of hard things out there, and leaving your teammates is not an option.
Well, and that's where I'm at. As a human being, I will give her the credit that it wasn't easy for her. It wasn't an easy decision. She made it. But I have to look at the whole body of work, and the body of work suggests she's overcome a lot in her life and competed at the highest levels ever. You know, she was part of the Larry Nassar thing. She's had to overcome that horror show and the handling of it by USA Gymnastics, like many, many other young ladies have had to do it. As you said, she's a foster child. She was, raised in U.S. Gymnastics, which is a mess. And then she's achieved to the highest levels of all time. So a lot of credit there, but at the same time, sure, worthy of criticism for what's gone on over the last 48 hours in Tokyo. But I'll try to listen to her instead of just judging it immediately and call her quitter and this and that. And the other thing, I'll give her credit for what she's done on top of this. You got to put the whole body of work together.
I mean, you're making it sound like I've been calling it quitter all morning.
No.
I've already indicated
a lot of people are.
All the things that this young lady has done and what she's gone through in her life. But at that particular moment, in my mind, I'm just talking about me. As I said, I've never been at that highest of level. How many of us have?
Correct. And I think that a lot of us do that. We all do that. We try to put yourself, how would I handle that situation? And that's fair. I mean, but, boy, I've never done anything close to what she's done as far as to that level.
But I don't believe that's commitment level. I don't believe that's her first bad day. She's had plenty of bad days where she performed. I just think that's not and guess what? You don't worry about the look, but she's been into too many situations of pressure and everything else. You got to think about not what you can do.
And I think you're saying that is what I'm trying to, that's my argument, that she just never has felt like she felt yesterday.
Yeah.
And you have to listen to your body and listen to your mind at some point. And I have to trust that she did what she felt was best for her team and best for herself in that moment. And she's not competing tonight. We'll take your thoughts on it. Obviously, it's a polarizing topic and a big conversation. Also, the latest on Texas. Why is the UT Board of Regents meeting on Friday? That meeting has now been called. We'll get you some details on that. Also, a very special guest will join us coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. We got Hot or Not for the end of the hour. We're rolling. It's a fun Wednesday on 104.9, 101.9 FM, AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Oh, man, the text line has exploded. It says Hogan is soft, man. It's true. It's true, I'm a soft.
Nah, not soft, it's just there's a lot out there. It's hard to get into the mind of somebody, and when you start trying to think about what they're thinking, I'm, as I said, I've never been at that level, and there's very few of us that have been at the level that she is. I just know in my mind what I would do. Now, I'm only speaking for me. I'm not trying to speak for 1,000 people or 2 people or 4 people. Just for me, it's not an option if I have teammates. It's just not an option. I'd have to be really, really mentally out of it, which she probably is, because she would do something like that. Or I have to be really, really hurt badly the other way. So it's just hard. But there's no option of – there was nothing wrong with her physically, and mental health and mental awareness is – we're paying a real close attention to that. But let's not make perfect days that become a crutch when the days aren't perfect or you're not at your peak performance. Be careful of the two. That's all.
Well, I think our difference in opinion on this stems from this. I think you are saying that she just wasn't her best and didn't want to go if she wasn't her best. And I'm going to go ahead and believe that she has never felt that way before and knows her body as a champion that she is and just understood whatever the reason is. I mean, that's the next step, is to figure out, you know, why is she shaking? And you know, why is she unable to get control of her emotions and her body? You know, is it, you know, the different environment, the bubble, her parents aren't there, her family and support system is not allowed there, all those things.
We heard that yesterday. Game on.
Yeah. Well, I know. But I heard Allie Raisman, who is a gold medalist gymnast herself, say, been there, done that, and if you try to compete in that, you can hurt yourself severely. I mean, you can catastrophically get injured if you can't control your body when you're doing, you know, they're doing uneven bars. And you know, that is a very dangerous situation if you're not mentally focused and you're having a panic attack and you're shaking. You know, that obviously is not a good thing. So I would listen to that too. So I don't have all the answers, and I'm not giving her a pass on it. I'm just listening to her and trying to understand, because I don't think she put in all the time and an extra year to get ready for this, to show up and not be able to go. I don't believe that was her plan. So to hear her say that she just has never felt that way and isn't sure why, I have to at least give her credit and then try to understand that. At the same time, it's hard to understand someone getting to that moment and then not being able to go. That's all I'm saying to that point of, you know, but the fact that she's been there so many times and done it so well and performed under that pressure and under those lights and on the biggest stages her whole life, and she's 24 years old, something's off. Something's not right for her. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, nobody knows. Only she knows. But what I do know is, why are we not in a 3-on-3 basketball Olympics? I don't get that. We can't find 3 guys in the Rucker League to actually do this today. This is not right. I've been watching this, and by the way, I kind of like what they do and how they play this game, but we couldn't find 3 dudes.
Yeah, there's a couple brothers right now hooping that Rucker Park or the cage in Harlem somewhere that probably give these guys
a L.A., I mean, Atlanta.
I didn't even know this was an Olympic
sport.
You got to
be drug tested, though, too, right? You can't smoke any weed. No weed?
Yeah.
No weed?
We all know you can't smoke weed in the Olympics.
No weed. You're tested for that.
Unfortunately.
This says...
That game is tough. By the way, that's 3-on-3.
Make it, take it.
It's not make... No, no, no.
It's not make it, take it?
No, because in make it, take it, you check it up. You know what I'm saying? You check it up.
They're in 3-on-3 hoops. They're not playing make it, take it?
No, you check it up.
You got to get side out.
No. Out on the street.
You got to get a stop to get the ball.
In the street, you check it up. And I was known to check it up about 4 times to get my breath. Hey, check this up again. Let me get my breath here. Check it up. This deal is what, Zay, how many seconds?
12.
You got 12 seconds. As soon as it goes through the hoop, when you touch it, it's play right underneath the hoop. And then you got to go back behind the line, and then you got to play.
Yeah.
You don't get to check it up?
Nah, no checking it up.
Oh, hell.
Yeah, no breathers. That's why you have a 4th member on the bench.
And that's why I'm seeing so many balls just hit the back of the rim and nothing clean. But we got to find 3 dudes that could go there. 12 seconds is quick, though, man.
Yeah, it's fast. And
plus, if you're smoking weed.
And you claim that the rim's smaller? I don't know why you think that.
The rim looks teeny.
No, it's the same size.
Are you sure?
That's the normal rim. But I just think they should do make it, take it.
Make it, take it, but... But no, check it up.
All right. A lot of thoughts coming in on the Simone. But let me just say this. My opinion is, as I've talked to folks who are professionals and try to listen and try to understand, they will tell you that your mental health is just like your physical health. It's the same. It is, you can't control it. You can't control when something starts hurting, and we don't know enough about the brain to truly understand.
So you've been talking to people at her level?
No,
at
kind of
level.
I'm talking about people who work in mental health arena, when people who you know, are dealing with severe issues that they aren't sure why they're happening, and they happen. So I think we have to treat the brain just like we would any other part of your body in the injury. When we say, well, you're injured, well, your brain, your mentality can be the same thing if you're not there. And look, we have to, I think, be the same way on the other side. If you know, it's got to be taken more serious, I guess, is what I would argue, and be with more empathy and more understanding. But
I think people are being pretty empathetic in ways, but there are others that are just going to. I'm not calling her a quitter. Sometimes there's no options.
Correct. But I think people leap to, well, she's a quitter and she just quit on her team and she's soft. Well, I mean, would you say that if she had an ankle injury and couldn't go? No, you wouldn't say that. I think we have to be open-minded to the idea that maybe there is something going on that she can't control. And if you listen to the symptoms she's talking about and explaining, I have never felt this way.
Let me hear her again. She is now rested away, but she spoke about it. And let me listen to her thoughts and listen to how she presents her thoughts.
I've just never felt like this going into a competition before, and I tried to go out here and have fun and warm up in the back went a little bit better, but then once I came out here, I was like, no, mental is not there, so I just need to let the girls do it and focus on myself.
Physically, I feel good. I'm in shape. Emotionally, that kind of varies on the time and the moment. Coming here to the Olympics and being the head star of the Olympics is not an easy feat, so we're just trying to take it one day at a time, and we'll see.
Yeah. I say put mental health first. It's okay sometimes to even sit out the big competitions to focus on yourself because it shows how strong of a competitor and person that you really are.
The head star. Yeah, I mean, you know, it all depends on how you take some of the wording. Nobody's going to be perfect in how they give you an explanation of what's going on, but still, no option. No option for me.
Fair enough. We'll take your thoughts and discuss it. All right. So on the other top story of the day, the Texas move to the Southeastern Conference. The dominoes continue to fall. As we said, Monday was informing the Big 12 of the decision that you and Oklahoma have made. Yesterday was the letter to the Southeastern Conference, which led to Greg Sankey, the head of the SEC, or the commissioner, issuing a statement saying we will consider it. And that will actually happen tomorrow when the 14 SEC commissioner or presidents get together, and it's expected now that it's going to be a 14-0 vote in the affirmative for Texas and Oklahoma to join that conference as new members, which will lead to Friday, Buck, and that is when the Texas Board of Regents, led by Chairman Kevin Eltif, who along with Jay Hartzell, the school president, have spearheaded this move and this decision, they are going to meet to discuss a wide-ranging. The scheduled Friday meeting had been scheduled. And the agenda, you know, they got to put out an agenda before they have it. But they're going to discuss this. I think that's fair to say. Also been told that they're going to, you can expect to hear about a contract extension and raise for Texas baseball coach David Pierce. That's going to be discussed. He's earned that with the run to Omaha and a third place finish in college baseball. Also, Jarrett Elliott, we've heard is going to be an agenda topic. He could get a bump. In addition to they still have to rubber stamp and approve the new coaching staff for Chris Beard and the new coaching staff for Steve Sarkisian. All of that has to be, you know, approved for the new calendar year and the academic year and the budget.
Sold.
It'll all get pushed
Sold.
Through. It'll all get pushed through.
Sold.
And, but so obviously, gosh, by Friday afternoon, this thing will be wrapped up. I mean, the formalities taken care of. Now, there's still the legal side and, you know, how the Big 12 handles it, but they don't have much control at this point. So, you know, it's moving forward. And Kevin Eltif, the head of the Board of Regents, the chairman, has told a couple of outlets that, you know, regardless of how this plays out with the Big 12, you know, if they fight and we've got to pay them, essentially he's saying we have the money. And our friend Chip Brown over at Horns 24/7 reported yesterday that one of the proposed potential plans is to take the money ESPN still owes Texas for the Longhorn Network. Right, that's a contract. It goes through 2031. That money on agreement with ESPN would essentially just be rolled in to cover the buyout costs.
I was thinking that. Yeah, probably, yes.
Hey, instead of you giving us that $20 million every year.
We're going to be part of the SEC anyway.
We're going to the SEC anyhow. That over to the Big 12. But, you know, the ESPN's going to say, well, what is the Big 12? What is this Big 12 we're giving money to? There is no Big 12. It doesn't even exist anymore. It's eight teams, and they're all scrambling to find somewhere else. Now, Bob Bowlesby issued a statement saying that's not true. We're going to unite and rally together. But as you said, that just takes one. It takes one Kansas or one West Virginia.
I believe it just takes one now, not two. Just
well, if Kansas were to jump, and that would be a likely one because of, I know their football program is a disaster, but they're pretty good and everything else, and their basketball program is elite. They were the third highest revenue-generating program in the 10-team conference behind Texas and Oklahoma. So if they were to find a soft home and the Big Ten, and they have already had preliminary discussions according to reports, that's it. That's kaput. There's nothing left.
I don't know what Bob Bowlesby can try. I don't know who he can try to pull. I keep hearing the word Cincinnati, but Cincinnati has been good on occasions. They get their run.
Well, if Bob Bowlesby indeed wants to shave the Big 12, he's got to go after Pac-12 schools. I mean, he's got to be aggressive. He's got to reach up.
You're talking about,
you can't reach down. You've got to reach
waiting.
Up.
You're talking about waiting till the panic button is already hit. And
yes.
That should have been happening a long time ago. That should have been one of his first. When that thing was starting to sink in Pac-12, that's when he should have attacked them.
Yeah.
And USC's now, of the world, the UCLA's of the world.
Well, and those schools may have listened if Texas and Oklahoma were still in the conference.
Right.
Now that they're out and maybe Kansas.
No, they're not.
They're like, come on, why would I join that? It's the Titanic. Let me get on it.
No.
Knowing what's coming. Yeah, probably not going to happen. So, yes, Bowlesby, he's still getting paid to be the commissioner, so he's got to do commissioner things.
Yes.
And represent the remaining eight schools. But we all know what the remaining eight schools are doing. They're seeking,
talking to other people,
trying to figure out their next step.
Yeah, it's too bad.
And we'll run through some of those. We're also coming up top of the hour, we're going to talk to our friend Bobby Burton, Inside Texas, who's been covering the Texas program for as long as we have. Bobby's tremendous. We'll get his thoughts on all that's going on, the changing mindset of the Texas leadership with Jay Hartzell and Kevin Eltife. It's 180 degrees from previous presidents and board of chairman regents, directors or chairman. So we'll talk to Bobby. Also, the recruiting angle for Texas moving into to the SEC, what that can mean, big picture. Bobby's covered college athletics across the country for a long, long time, and specifically here in Austin. So that's coming up. Coming up next, though, Isaiah Collier, our producer, gets to weigh in. He will lead us through the hot or not topic, something or a couple things we've missed halfway through a Wednesday program.
The Horns text line is brought to you by Specs, a Texas-sized selection of wines, spirits, finer foods, and specialty beers. Cheers to savings. What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Oh man, V&E with you. Lively Wednesday, for sure. Here is a text that says mental health is important. Mental toughness is too. But I think that with Simone Biles, it's impossible to argue that she's not a mentally tough athlete. She's a 19-time world champion, a 4-time gold medalist. She is mentally tough. She's been mentally tough on the biggest stages her whole life.
Absolutely.
That's why I have to try to understand that maybe she just didn't have it yesterday. But, you know, everybody has a great opinion on that. It's good to hear all sides, for sure. Isaiah Collier, what say you on Simone Biles, my friend?
She did quit, but I marvel her for doing so, and if she has mental health problems, then she needs to take care of them. Very simple. And people comparing her to Michael Jordan.
No.
Come on, man.
Well, in her sport, she is.
Yeah, but Jordan quit, too. He had mental health problems. His dad died.
Then he went and played baseball for 2 years, yeah.
Yeah, then he quit again and came back. So, in a way, he quit twice just because he said he retired.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, still quit. He just retired officially that last time with Washington.
There's no doubt about her and her toughness and what she's gone through. So I just said sometimes there's just no options, even when you're at your worst and you have to go out there with your teammates. And if she would have got no medal whatsoever, my thoughts on her today would be a lot different than my thoughts on her. If she would have gone and said, I got to do this, I'm not letting these – I'm not going to be at my best. I'm not going to be the star, as she said. I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to give it everything I can. And then I will deal with the people after that, of what I've gone through, and how I've been. I'll have to do that. But for the sake of my teammates, I got to be there. And I'm not talking about just sitting back in my white jumpsuit in the background. No, I got to go. I got to flip. I got to double loop. I got to triple sow cow. I got to go. Game on.
Game on.
Game damn on.
Isaiah Collier, what do you have in Hot or Not?
Thanks, fellas. So one of my biggest pet peeves is when I am in a group text message and I'm an iPhone user. So when the message pops up green, you two, I know y'all are iPhone users because y'all text me from time to time. Does that grind y'all's gears a little bit?
Mine's just blue.
Yeah, it's supposed to be blue. You text other iPhone users, but okay. If somebody with an Android were to text you, it comes up green.
Green, yeah, that's true.
And there's certain things that you can't do with that because they don't have an iPhone, so there's certain attributes that...
That bugs you?
Oh, it bugs me.
You're so soft. My God.
That yeah. grinds your
are you well. Somebody that colors gets you? It grinds you?
It's annoying.
It grinds you that someone else has chosen to buy an Android?
It does. It does.
Oh, my God, Simone.
Just,
what are you doing?
Yo, I'm not this bad, though.
Okay.
Like head coach for the Dallas Mavericks, Jason Kidd, who ran his former team, the Milwaukee Bucks, because former player Thon Maker in the team's group text messages was mucking up everything by having an Android
really?
While the rest of the team had iPhones.
He made them run?
Yes. So Jason Kidd would make Thon Maker stand on the sideline.
While the others ran?
While the others ran because he was trying to form camaraderie and team unity.
Okay. How did he do as a coach there then? How did that work?
Not very good. Not very good.
Oh, it didn't work?
He got canned.
Okay. I don't know. I got it. I can see.
Coach's corner. I mean, I try to control the controllables. I can't control if someone else buys an Android. That's their choice. I can't control that. Now, Jason Kidd as coach could say, hey, look, when he first gets there, hey, I'd like everybody to have an iPhone, even if it's your second phone, because when I do send you guys a group text, I want it to be green.
I need it to
color.
Or
blue.
Yeah, I need a color because my face, my head, my mind, I can't take that. But it's too much for me to handle.
Why would you... like single out Thon Maker because he wanted to have an Android. It's their consumer choice. I want the Android.
Well, Mr. I hold a grudge back there.
I know.
Do you get mad at people that do that? Is there something against them a little bit when they do that to you a little bit?
I'm no Jason Kidd, but I do look at them different.
Wow.
Android users, I look at them different. My mom, my brother, we all clown them in my family. The whole family clowns them.
I know people. My son has an Android. My oldest, he loves it. And he tells me all the reasons why he likes it more than the iPhone. It used to be iPhone.
Oh, Android users, they will go thick and thin.
Yeah, they love their Android.
With their Android.
And he tells me, he's done all the research, why it's better. And
yeah, I know on the subject, it's not funny, but do you check out yourself mentally at times on this? I mean, seriously?
Come on, Zay.
Is there any time you look in the mirror and say, maybe this is a little too much?
Every morning, as I brush my teeth and look in the mirror,
sent me this?
If somebody sends me an Android-type message,
okay.
It'll take me a little longer to reply to them. That's all I got to say.
Somebody's going to pay the price for doing that to you.
Yeah.
Damn, oh, yeah. Zay.
I know I'm petty.
You are petty. And
I like that Jason part, Kidd, though, I guess.
Jason Kidd, if he didn't put a policy in place with his team that they have an iPhone as at least their second phone so he can text them, then that's BS.
By the way, on the way back from the Big 12 media events, I heard Jason Kidd's
press conference.
Man, was he good. I remember the Jason Kidd that had some struggles articulating the language. I mean, really, really. You're talking a guy who was nervous and gun-shy of being near camera. He sounds so grown. I mean, I know he's a grown man, but he sounds so different as he matured. You know what I mean? That was a great press conference he put on. Really was.
And he's got to feel good. He's got Luka Doncic to build around moving forward.
Maybe that helps.
All right, hot or not, we'll take your thoughts on that. I just got a group text. Group text. Must be somebody in my family's birthday because my mom.
Texas cheaters, don't send it. Don't send it to me. I don't care.
Oh, happy birthday, Brianna, my sister-in-law. All right, good.
There you go.
Whenever there's a birthday in the family, mom sends it out to everybody. Don't forget to say happy birthday to so-and-so. So, happy birthday, Brianna. We'll be back. When we do, it'll be Bobby Burton, Inside Texas. And Bobby's got a new project coming. I think college football fans and recruiting fans are going to love. We'll talk to Bobby, his thoughts on this incredible week in college football, incredible week in Austin, Big 12, SEC. Bobby Burton coming next right after the headlines, including more drama in Tokyo with Simone Biles. It's B&E on the Horn.